We've got none other than Terry Gates with us here. Nothing like having the big man here to talk a little basketball. Before we jump to Terry, just quickly want to acknowledge that the UVA Club of Richmond has been a terrific supporter of Who's Talking this year and last year as well. There's an event tomorrow night, believe it or not, at Legend Brewing Company, sort of a welcoming event for young alumni. You might go out there and meet other Cavaliers.
Well, that means you, me, and Terry can't go.
That's pretty
much. We don't qualify as young alumni anymore.
Pretty much true. The Richmond Club also has a
downtown. The goat gets in, but we don't.
The Richmond Club has also got a downtown luncheon on November the 2nd, which is a Tuesday, down at Mead Westvaco headquarters, and it's a new interesting topic there that night. It's going to be an entrepreneur panel, so people can hear about a variety of new businesses that are succeeding in the greater Richmond area, and a chance for Cavaliers to network a little bit and find out a little bit about what it's like to start up a new business. So anyway, without further ado, we're going to get back to the world of sports and UVA basketball, and we've got on my left, I've got Jim Hobgood, who played back in 1970. I got Terry Gates from the 80s.
You've lost all control here, Frank.
We've got a couple of decades really covered there.
All right, well, you know.
You got Hobgood here speaking about tight spirals. What does he know about passes?
I know nothing. You know,
what does he know about passing?
Listen, well, that's true. I never passed a basketball, let alone a football.
We know that.
I'm utterly shocked that Doc McHugh, you don't have a little sample of your cartilage in a jar. I'm shocked.
When we had Gordy here earlier, we were talking about cortisone and Novocaine, and I got a lot of that from Doc McHugh a few minutes before tip-off.
You failed to mention the pictures on the wall. You mentioned some of those, but Chief Wahoo McDaniel and all the wrestlers that were up on that wall, that was a classic office.
Yeah, it was
one you didn't want to visit very often.
It was unique, But let's talk a little basketball. Tony Bennett got seven first-year guys, six on scholarship. That's going to be the core of his program. What do you expect from the basketball team this year?
Well, first you got to buy a program.
That's true. And they charge for programs
they
now,
do.
So you really do have to buy.
Or download something before you leave. But it's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of interest to see how all this pans out. And when you have Samuel Leszczynski not playing for what?
He's probably out until late December, I would say.
So that creates
certainly
some additional time, playing time for people. Then they have to figure out when he comes back in who sits. I think chemistry is going to be the overriding factor in this team, how they play together, how they practice together. I assume most of these positions are wide open.
And that's a good question. If you had to guess, do you have any idea who you would expect to start the first game? Or have you gotten that far?
I think Farrakhan. I think Scott. I would start him.
Those two guys.
Yeah, I think those. And
Zaglinski probably would have started had he not gotten hurt.
And I don't see any of the seven-footers on this roster here. So
Sene.
Well, I said I don't see. I see one. He'd be my pick there. And I would play him until things didn't work out so well, because you can't really coach 7-1 and. You know, there's only a 1'9" player on here, and I think you got to utilize some strength you do have. And
you
don't get any better on the bench.
You know, Hassan Sen, of course, you made your living at UVA playing defense and getting rebounds. You know, I like guys that can score, and I think that's the one limitation of Hassan, at least up through this point in time in his career. Hopefully he's worked in the offseason to become a little better offensive player in the low post. I mean, if I had to guess, I'm thinking Jontel Evans or Billy Barron at the point, probably Jontel. You know, Farrakhan, Scott, Harrell, and the Johnson kid from California. So I could see two first-year guys in that starting lineup, and maybe Hassan coming off the bench. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I like to start him. I like to see how he's going to play. You know, if he just catches the ball and rebounds, that's a positive thing. You don't have to play him long. You know, if he's playing well, you play him longer. If you're not, you go to someone else. But
yeah, we had a guy for a few years, good old Tungy. You know, we were happy when he caught the ball.
Right.
He struggled with that most of the time.
Yeah, you push. You're playing. You want to play longer. You push, and sometimes it just has to occur naturally and be aggressive. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of first year players playing, and it's a great opportunity. But how that all meshes together, and is 200 minutes enough for these 13?
Well, interesting. Now, 200 minutes is all they got. Though,
that's all they got.
And, of course, that's one of the weapons – I shouldn't say weapon. That's one of the things a coach has going for him is, guys are fighting for playing time, so they're going to go to practice, play hard. And this is one season where practice will matter, I would think, relative to who's going to get out on the floor.
I think practice matters, defense matters, rebounding matters, skin knees matters, because, I mean, they're going to have to do some, you know, to have a successful year, they're going to have to do this with mirrors and hustle, and you know, everyone's going to have to participate.
You know, I'll let Frank get in here, too, in a minute. But, you know, this early...
Just keep going. You're fine. You're fine.
The early schedule is brutal. Now, you know, particularly with a young team, and I realize they make schedules in advance and so forth, but you go to Stanford. After a couple of games in Charlottesville, you go to Stanford. Then you go to Maui. You come back for a couple of days, get back on the plane, go to Minneapolis to play Minnesota, Tubby Smith's team. Come back, and then you have to go to Blacksburg.
Yeah, Blacksville,
to
yeah.
Play,
you go there.
Blacksville. Yeah. Is that what? Is that
yeah.
We,
Bleaksburg.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, anyway.
You know, in Oregon, you know, and then it gets, you know, Iowa State, LSU. And,
yeah.
You know, those
a
are
tough
not,
non-conference schedule.
No, yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think that's how you attract the kind of kids that he's trying to attract, competitors. Maybe they're not where you want them to be, but you're hoping 2-3 years down the path that they gain weight, they get faster, they jump higher, and they learn a system.
Yeah, learn a system and, you know, as you said, play defense. And I think Coach Bennett is also going to try to recruit kids that can shoot. Because I think, you know, the perimeter shot, I think, is part of his game, you know, trying to find the open guy in his system. And when you get an open look, you got to knock it down.
Well, it's hard to find guys that want to play with their back to the basket. They're few and far between. You know.
I'm sure in your day you wanted to go out and shoot the three. When did the three-point basket, was that at all in your career? When did that come in?
I believe that's about 83 or so.
Okay.
That was a little after me.
Okay. But you would have been shooting a three.
Oh, most definitely.
I'm sure Coach Holland would have loved to see you out there shooting a three.
That would never have happened. Give me a break. All right. Enough of that foolishness. Let's talk about these players. You guys talked about shooting. KT Harrell, one of the top 50 players in the nation last year from Montgomery, Alabama, 6'4", 204, supposed to be a lights-out shooter, gives Virginia instant offense. How does Bennett not start him?
Well, I think first he has to earn it, I believe. Right. I don't think he can just start because he can shoot, because that's not the way he's handled the program so far. He's going to have to do all the other things, and if he does those, he'll earn the right to start. But yeah, you're right. They scoring could be has been a problem in the past and probably will be a problem in the future, and you got to put the, you know, two or three out there that want to do that.
Here's what I'll tell you. Erase the pencil in the lineup and write his name in ink.
Yes.
In the starting lineup. He's going to play.
Because I think KT Harrell is going to be playing a lot of minutes.
Well, as Terry said, they need offense. You know, I mean, you got to play defense, but you also have to score. So you got to have people out on the floor who can score.
And I think, you know, Mustafa Farrakhan and KT Harrell, aren't they pretty much playing the same position? So maybe they're alternating.
Well, they'll both be out there, I think.
Right. Yeah. And then you've got Jontel Evans and Billy Barron basically running the
point
offense.
Guard, right.
They're running the offense because Sammy's out. You're looking at some leadership from Will Scott.
Mike Scott,
excuse me. And I'm looking
Will Sherrill.
I'm looking at Will Sherrill's face.
Never mind.
Will's gonna get some minutes, giving him good, reliable defense, good hustle, a three-point shot occasionally. Who else? You know, you got to figure out that maybe Joe Johnson. James Johnson is going to get some minutes.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of minutes.
I mean, he's got to play just
you know,
because of his height.
He and Asan Sen, I think, would be looking at playing that low post position. Right. Mike Scott, they'll play him at the four.
Right.
I think the guy from Washington State, Joe Harris.
Right.
I think he's going to see some minutes in his first year. And the other guy that's interesting, and Terry, you know, Barry Parkhill, who has seen these guys play, I'd be the first to admit I have not seen them practice. Barry saw them play some during the summer, and he told me that Akeel Mitchell's a player. And I don't trust Parkhill on many things, but evaluating basketball, I do.
Well, you know, one thing about Akeel Mitchell is, he's very smart. He had a 4.0 GPA last year in high school, and anybody can do that. Shows that he's ready to go to the University of Virginia, number
you
two.
You didn't have a 4.0 in high school?
I did not. I tried. Boy, okay. Lord knows I tried. But Akeel Mitchell wear jersey number 25, and there was initially talk of him redshirting through the rumor mill. But, you know, one thing that Tony Bennett has said twice in press conferences is Mitchell is still growing. And at 6'8", if he grows to 6'9 or 6'10", again, he becomes more of a factor in someone you've got to play because you've got to get rebounds.
Well, the key is he's very athletic, from what I'm told.
Right, smart kid.
And you know, if you can sell that to a young man that is patient, that wants to be in school an extra year, all power to you. That's very difficult to do when you recruit somebody, bring him in, but when you went, you mentioned everyone on the roster who's going to play here, and there's still just 200 minutes. So
right,
you know, you gotta.
Well, if I could play, I'd go back and play. It might be a little old, but
please.
Oh, I was a good passer. Give me a break. Looking here at the schedule, Virginia's got a exhibition game coming up on November the 6th against Roanoke College. That's a good opportunity there. And then the first home game is November 12th, which is right around the corner. UVA
plays Friday night.
It's a Friday night. They're playing William & Mary. A good game to get going.
William & Mary, who in the last couple of years had a good basketball team. I mean, that's not a gimme putt. I don't really know right off the top of my head how many kids they lost to graduation last year. And at William & Mary, you do lose them to graduation, unlike some schools. But that could be an early test.
Then they have
South Carolina Upstate.
Yeah, USC Upstate. That's Monday, November 15th, a 7 p.m. game up at the JPJ.
That one better not be a test.
That better be a walkover there. And then, obviously, all the trips. You know, they're going to Stanford on the way to the Maui Invitational. And what's the psychology that Coach Bennett is trying to teach, Terry? Because, you know, you've only got a couple of games to get your team together. Maybe some scrimmages are going to get pretty intense here. JPJ, and then you've got these games, and then they're going to take this serious road trip. How does he get the team psychologically ready for those type of games?
Well, I think when you look at Stanford and Washington and the win, you know, the winner of Kentucky versus Oklahoma, if you do win, or one of those two teams, I don't think you need to be psyched up to play those. I think you just have to have some confidence that if you do what you're supposed to do, and you make some shots, and you play defense, and you rebound, and you're going to be in the game. But, you know, that's a tall task on the road with those teams. But, you know, in Maui, you say that's not a home game for Kentucky, but there's going to be quite a few Big Blue fans down there.
Yeah,
over there, excuse me.
Yeah, we were over there 1 year, and I think half the state of Kentucky came over to the Maui Invitational, even though they couldn't all get, because the gymnasium, the Lahaina Civic Center, I don't know if it seats about 2,500, so it's not a very big facility. But a lot of Wildcat fans, they love their Wildcats, and they follow the team. So it'll be interesting, although Calipari, he had to reload this year. He had a lot of guys leave that team, but I'm sure he did reload.
That was a one-and-done and a one-and-done and another one-and-done. And, you know, how does he even know who's on his team now? But talking about the Hoos, we know that Virginia has three verbal commitments that have already committed for the following year. So it looks like Bennett's philosophy of recruiting good, smart kids, kids that are, you know, essentially high three, you know, a lot of high three stars. Maybe Harrell might be listed as a four star. Guys that will develop during their career at Virginia and get better each year once they learn his system and gradually come to understand the pack line defense, which every time he starts describing it, I'm looking for Terry Gates to try to explain it to me.
Well, so, you know, once you do that recruiting and you get to a point where you're competitive, then you have the opportunity to go out and get someone really special who wants to play that style of basketball but might want to be the go-to person. And, you know, if you're athletic and you're talented and you appreciate what UVA has to offer and you're a really good basketball player, it's nice to go on a team that's, you know, 50-50 in the ACC and try to take them to the next level. And that's what you could probably do 2 years from now if you're successful in the interim.
Yeah, that's how Ralph Sampson came to me. He knew Terry Gates was already there. Yeah. And Terry would take all the pressure off him. You know.
Well, he knew the enforcer would have his back. That's the best laugh tonight. All right. Looking at Jason Williford and this awesome staff he's got. He's got Ron Sanchez and Richie McKay. And seems like he's got a good group. Help him preach the system that he's developed and trying to build this this reputation for good, solid, hard-nosed basketball. What do you anticipate this season and heading towards next season, Terry?
Well, I think, you know, hope springs eternal here. And I think what the Virginia fans have come to expect when they go up their drive up to Charlottesville is a hard-nosed basketball team that will play defense, will do the necessary things. But as Jim said, you got to score more points than the opponents. You can't win it with defense. I would like to see on this a little more, a few more Virginia players here. There's only, what, three on the roster right now, and I don't think next year any of those kids are from Virginia. I might be wrong. They're from a couple from Maryland.
No, I think the you're right. Kid from Maryland, but of the nine kids that Bennett's recruited, they're all from out of state. I don't think he has any Virginia kids. Well, maybe the one walk-on kid, Thomas Rogers.
Right.
I guess he would be a Virginia kid.
John Tell and Mike Scott.
He's not on scholarship. Right. But those are Lato holdovers, John Tell and so forth. But, you know, I think Coach Bennett's attitude is he'll recruit nationally and try to find the kids that fit his system and are good fits for the University of Virginia. And the one thing I like about Tony is even though he doesn't have a long history with the UVA, he seems to have a great understanding of the nature of the school and the type of kid that would fit into the UVA program.
Yeah, it's not a one and done mentality. It's someone who's going to stay for a while and progress and mature and you know UVA has a lot to offer. It was kind of surprising when he signed six and the walk on just kind of probably happened, but. He had 6-3 is 9. That's a lot in a 2-year period.
And he really only has four scholarships for the next 2 years, unless somebody leaves.
And you know, other teams have done that, but you see people depart. And I don't know if he's in the business of having people depart, but you got to say some at some point. But here, he's just trying to get a groundswell of support and you know, kids that understand the system. Like I said, in 2 years from now, if you're doing well, you go out and get that one player that takes you to that next level.
All right, we've been talking with Terry Gates, a former radio analyst for the Virginia Radio Network and a former basketball player at the University of Virginia. Final thoughts as we get ready for year two of the Bennett era.
Very nicely done.
That's just for you, Hobo.
Well, you know, I think everyone appreciated the enthusiasm last year. Kind of stall there at the end. You know, I think we'd all hope to have Sylvan back, but that didn't happen. He's a player that could have progressed into another level, but he's not here. And now it's kind of his program now. Like I said, people expect a hard-nosed basketball team, a team that's going to hustle, and I think we're heading that right direction. But it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
Yeah, minus Sylvan and Jess Jones. I mean, they lost some offense from that team last year, so you got to figure out a way to not only defend but score, as you said. But at any rate, we thank Terry Gates for joining us tonight. As always, he'll be back on, I'm sure, many times throughout the basketball season, which is upcoming. We're going to go to a break, and then we'll be back for our final segment from Richmond BMW.
All right, we're back for the final segment tonight. You're listening to Who's Talking, and this is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood, and to my right, Michael Tuskey's with us, and he's going to do the LeClaire Ryan play of the game.
This is obviously from the Eastern Michigan game victory this past Saturday. After Eastern Michigan closed the gap to 24-21, the Eagles made the fatal mistake of kicking the ball to number 34, Terrence Fells-Danzer, at the 30-yard line. The third-year fullback caught the ball, followed his blocks, and proceeded to blast up the middle before cutting to the west hash marks and going 70 yards for a Wahoo touchdown. Fells-Danzer's kick return gave UVA the lead, which eventually became a final score of 48-21. That play clearly turned the tide for the Hoos. Some Olympic sports updates. The Virginia men's soccer team is ranked number 5 and is 9-2-3 and 2-2-2 in ACC play. The team tied number 15 Boston College 1-1 in double overtime on Friday night in Massachusetts. They host number 3 Maryland on Friday in a top 5 showdown at Klockner Stadium. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. The number 7 Virginia women's soccer team is 11-3-2 and 5-2-1 in the ACC. The team tied Florida State 0-0 last Thursday night in Tallahassee and beat Miami 4-1 that following Sunday. The Cavaliers return home tomorrow for their final regular season game at Klockner Stadium when they host NC State at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. The number 3 Virginia women's field hockey team is 14-2 and 2-2 in the ACC. They beat number 14 Wake Forest 4-1 on Saturday in Charlottesville.
Way to go, Hoos.
And they have their final game of the season. They host Duke, or they head to Duke, excuse me, for their final game of the season on Saturday in Durham at 1 p.m. The men's tennis team, they hosted the ITA Atlantic Regional in Charlottesville this weekend. and they won both the singles and the doubles matches. Jameer Jenkins won the singles title, and he teamed up with Alex Domjan to win the doubles title, and they'll now advance to the ITA National Indoor Championships next month in Flushing Meadows, New York. You'll recall we've won the national championship in that the past few years.
Very good, Michael.
How about next week's show? Who's on next week?
It's a very exciting show. We have former UVA wide receiver Kevin Coffey with us. He currently is a coach and a teacher out of Thomasdale. We're going to look forward to his visit. Former Cavalier defensive tackle Andy Selfridge, who played back in your era.
Yeah, he's actually even played a couple of years, graduated a couple of years ahead of me, but a good guy, has been with development at UVA for a long time, so it'd be good to have him on.
We have UVA head wrestling coach Steve Garland making a visit with us, an annual visit. We love having him on. And, of course, they won the ACC men's title last year in wrestling. We also have the Sabres' Chris Wright coming back to us, previewing the upcoming Duke game and doing a little post-mortem on the Miami game. And then we have West End Orthopedics' Dr. Michael Wynn joining us again for next Wednesday's show at 6 p.m. We'll be back in studio. We're looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we thank Richmond BMW for hosting tonight. They've been terrific, gracious hosts. Quick score predictions before we go.
Quick.
Miami 42, Virginia 20. Sorry.
Oh. Can't do it. UVA 27, Miami 24.
24-10, Miami. But at any rate, hopefully Michael and I are wrong and Frank is right. We thank you for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
And we want to thank Manette for doing a great job on the board tonight. What a hero.
And Manette, who's a UVA grad. So it's four UVA grads here at the table.
That's all right. We like that.
All right. Thanks for listening to Who's Talking. I hope you join us again next week at 6 o'clock, as Frank said, back in studio. And we'll talk about Miami, Duke, and everything else that's going on in Virginia sports.
Very good.